All right, so we're just going to move on. I thought interesting to think about the regulatory environment. You know, when I get the GIS layer for the zoning, there are 13 different zones along the waterfront, though, and that's crazy. What I haven't done yet, and I'm just about ready to dig into this, is what does it mean when you're in the waterfront subzone 1 versus subzone 2?
A very good question.
You know, yeah. And that's a lengthy process.
Yeah.
So just for tonight's purposes, though, I think it seems like when I looked at it, you know, the terminology is fairly reflective of what I thought some of the uses were kind of along the waterfront. So, yeah. But I don't know what all the standards are. And there's a contract zone down here. Just kind of interesting to think about.
Contract zone.
Yeah. So
by contract zone.
Sometimes you have like a layer. You have the underlying zoning, which is, I think, the WF1. But a project comes in and you create like a unique zoning scenario for that particular property as part of the approval process.
Now these are all land use zones, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And the reason they're important is because, again, they help us think about the intersection of, you know, what we're talking about along the waterfront. So not that we're necessarily going to dig into a lot of land use policy discussion, but I think it's informative.
When most communities, sorry, do you want to go first?
Well, no, I was just going to say it is part of this committee's group is not because we care what's particularly there, but if we're trying to protect working waterfront, we want to make sure that the zoning is right that protects working waterfront.
Yep.
And where that should be.
Yeah, I think it's informative in that way, yeah.
So it's not just because we want to be nosy, it's because we want to make sure that there's working waterfront.
Yeah, what I think, the way I would describe it is, look, if we all, I'm going to come up with a crazy idea, but felt like, boy, this would be the best spot for an industrial area, then, you know, the zoning might need to reflect that. And our thought process would be, you know, because of the waterfront conditions, you know, this area is really accessible to, you know, bigger ships, blah, 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 even though it isn't. You know, some of that discussion I think we'll have right here. Where might we think about focusing, you know, different ports of access and those kinds of things? And then the zoning kind of comes along with that.
Is that going to be part of our function to determine what zoning allows presently? And if we think that there's an area that is ripe for some other development that's presently not allowed, recommend changes to the zoning ordinance?
I think that could be part of our discussion. Mm-hmm.
But that would certainly transfer to comps.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'll be.
There's going to have to be some overlap.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be informative to comps. Yeah. Yeah. So the comprehensive plan would look at this as part of the future land use, and say, you know, this is the working waterfront,
and what that means is da da da. Break it down a bit more.
Can you help me understand how shoreland zoning?
Yep.
Relates to.
Well.
This kind of zoning?
Yeah. So everywhere, our whole process is basically within the state's mandated shoreland zone. And the shoreland zone is a state rule that is defined by, it's a 250-foot zone from the normal high water line inland. And today they actually use an elevation to define the normal high water line. But so you can't really see it too much on this one, but like, see where it says shoreland zone LR? I think that means shoreland zone limited residential. So what the city has done is they've identified that 250. The buffer is all through here. You can actually see it.
Oh, all right. So it's the same as the waterfront subzone line.
Not always. See right here, this whatever this is, WL1 or something, you can kind of see the 250 line.
Oh, all right.
And it's like the way that John would be a better, I'll have to get him to make sure I'm understanding this correctly, but in a lot of areas, you know, the actual rules that come with the shoreland zoning standards would not coincide with the existing development that's already occurred here. So you have kind of a shoreland zoning standards that are basically reflective of what's currently developed. Like shoreland zone traditionally in a lot of areas, you have to be set back 75 feet from the normal high water line. You know, there's lot coverage restrictions. There are setbacks. There's a bunch of distinctive uses that you can have within a shoreline zone. But Rockland has been able to, because of the history, kind of modify that a little bit based on existing development as opposed to just having the state's model apply and make everything completely nonconforming.
So I have a question.
Yes.
I don't know who's going to answer it. The harbor ordinance, what does it currently aim to regulate? What does the current harbor ordinance regulate?
So
I don't mean in relation to that map. I mean, you'd be guy, I imagine, would have a better sense of that.
It's more waterside. There's hardly at all mention of...
You mean land side, right?
Nope. Harbor.
So what does it regulate?
Moorings, channels, shows, you know, where things are located. It talks about the current uses of the harbor, fee schedules.
Scope of, do you guys regulate mooring? Like scope of mooring?
Yeah.
Mooring, the weight of your stone, yeah, the pennant size, all that stuff.
Chapter 9, if you want to, it's not a huge read.
Yeah.
Want to get into
it? It also does have some shoreside stuff because the harbor master is responsible for the city's waterside parks.
Yeah.
So the stuff about what you can do in parks, you know, events, renting parks for events, that kind of stuff. But it's mostly waterfront. It's speeds. What happens if somebody sinks their boat? What happens if, you know, it's got that kind of, it really is harbor water related for the most part. But it does talk about the city's, the use of the middle pier, you know, whether you launch a boat in the south end, those fees for that. Yeah.
But it doesn't talk about regulating construction in the harbor. I think we talked about that in the very first meeting, right? There's no harbor.
You brought something in.
Yeah. Right, but that was something that was a proposal years ago, and we can discuss that as part of this too. That gets to your point, is how much do we want to be involved with waterfront zones that are really on the the land side, and how much do we want to use that, have a marine construction ordinance that there's nobody who really regulates at this point? And should that be the harbor master? Should that be code office? Who should be the one who regulates that? And should it be regulated?
I think that's a conversation we're going to have to come to.
But so,
an interesting one.
So my vision for that conversation is that I need to just sort of summarize what are the existing rules that are already in place so that we can start with a better regulatory, understanding. Like what does the shoreline zoning already say about marine structures like piers and wharfs? How does the planning board review all that? There's a bunch of things that we should probably understand first.
All of that stuff is on the city website. I will, though, turn it into PDFs in the next couple of days and put it on our web so you can just check it in smaller doses rather than having to go through the whole city zoning to read about waterfront zoning or shoreline zoning. So that'll be there too.
It's a good read if you're not having trouble falling asleep.
It'd be helpful
if you
are
having trouble falling asleep. It's really good.
Yeah, that's what I meant, if you are.
For folks that are learning, including me, a kind of distillation of when regulatory authority ends for one entity and begins for another. You know, where does Army Corps jurisdiction stop and the city start, and does the city of Rockland in its shoreline zoning ordinance take as much control of waterfront structures as other communities do? Is our shoreline kind of a fact-finding, not a should, but what is it relative to others?
Yep.
Based on your knowledge.
I imagine that at some point a harbor construction regulation would take into consideration things that aren't there now. Not just like adding on wharfs or something, but stuff that maybe, I mean, there was no breakwater 120 years ago. Someone built it. The federal government built it. And there may be people that have other proposals to build structures within the harbor for their advantage. Why wouldn't they? That's the kind of thing I'm thinking about in harbor construction regulation.
Yep.
I mean, there's nothing to prevent someone applying to the feds right now, from what I understand, to put a waiver attenuator somewhere to increase the value of a certain piece of shoreside property, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing wrong, but should it be done without any kind of input from the city? I think at the moment it would be pretty much done, right, without any input from the city.
Maybe. I think that would be
permits, but a lot of times they'll come back to the city with a comment or if,
right. You know, we have an indirect.
Exactly.
Someone asks
it's
our opinion
in the
about
Army
it.
Corps' hands.
But we don't get to regulate it.
Not.
We don't get to say this doesn't
directly.
Work for the city.
Right.
And we might be coming at the same issue in a couple of different ways, because I'm trying to understand who can regulate what now to better understand what the gap or perceived gap might be, to better understand how, if there's something right. missing that this committee
well, my amateur take
consider,
on it is that the city regulates the land.
It.
City regulates land uses very well, right? But no one really regulates uses of the submerged lands out there.
State.
Yes,
state.
But no one locally has too much regulation about the submerged lands.
Yep, I think I see your point. I think I'm picking up what you're putting down too, Julie, is that I think an interesting part of this discussion, an informative part when we get into it, is the jurisdiction. Who does what, and then the question starts to become: all right, if you decide that there's a gap in jurisdiction, what can the city regulate? And how do you regulate those things? Then there may be, we just have to inform ourselves what's the baseline? What's already being regulated and who's doing it? Is there a gap? And then can you and do you have the authority to do that? And then is it a recommendation that you should?
The state and the federal government give us a certain home rule authority over the land. We don't have that authority over the water.
Yeah,
they haven't given us as much home rule authority over the water. They've maintained the Army Corps of Engineers, submerged lands,
yes.
Conservation, State Conservation, Department of Environmental, have maintained an awful lot of that authority. I think when it comes to a marine construction, because it's attached to the land, we still have some home rule authority that we can assert.
I'm surprised you don't already have that.
Yeah, and that's when you talk about it, we have to assert it. But when you start talking about going out further into the harbor, the question is, what are our authorities? Because now we're talking about interstate commerce. That's why we have those anchorage areas out there. Is the federal government has taken our harbor and said, oh, any vessel at all can anchor there. We don't have any authority. So you're right. This authority stuff is going to be where we're going to be keep banging up against where we can do things and where we can't do things.
And just to understand that difference, which is what you were saying,
would
be at some point rather helpful for us.
And permitting along the waterfront or in the water it's complicated. There's a lot of different things you have to factor in. And that's why I'm saying it. I think I don't have enough knowledge about that regulatory structure here right now to make any to tell you this is what I understand about it, and that's sort of next on my list of inventory stuff. But if you have adopted shoreland zoning standards, I'm just surprised that you don't already have the pretty much the basics of what you'd need to already regulate stuff. But I can't say that for sure. So
is the council considering a waterfront construction ordinance? Is that under consideration?
No. No, it's the furthest thing from our minds. But when this policy comes up and is adopted, if this is something that this committee recommends, then yes, that'll go on a front burner for what the council is going to do.
Or at least respond to.
Or respond to. Yeah. I mean, if that's something we accept is this and say, yeah, those are all good points, then yeah, that's the kind of stuff that the council is looking for.